You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. House Speaker John Boehner announced today that he will be leaving his congressional seat at the end of October. Joining us to discuss this surprising turn of events is Lily Gorin, professor of politics and global studies at Carroll University. Lily, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, this doesn't seem like a snap decision sort of thing, but here's John Boehner talking about how he made it.
This morning I woke up and walked up to Starbucks as usual and got my coffee and came back and read and walked up to Pete's Diner and saw everybody at Pete's and got home and thought, yep, I think today's the day.
So I said this is a surprise. Seems like it was a surprise to everybody but John Boehner. I mean, but there was some thought, I think, that he might leave at some point. How surprised were you, Lily?
I was pretty surprised. I have to tell you, I was out and about this morning, and I looked down at my phone, and there was the headline from the New York Times that John Boehner is resigning, you know, from his seat and from the speakership in October.
So what's the story here? What was behind this decision, the conflict coming up over the budget? That was going to lead to a leadership challenge, right?
Yeah, I mean, each one of these points where he's had to, you know, sort of muster the troops and get either continuing resolution through or budget through or some sort of deal through that's going to either not, you know, sort of tank the economy or keep, you know, the doors of the government open. He's also had to deal with sort of the right flank of the Republican caucus in the House, who continuously have been threatening him in his speakership during the whole period that he has been speaker, that they're going to try to, you know, overthrow him. And the first couple times, he was mostly able to beat it back. But at a certain point, I think he's also become more and more frustrated that you know, he has this sort of perpetual problem in trying to do his job as Speaker of the House, which is also leading the House. I mean, it is leading the sort of the political majority in the House, which is the Republicans, but he's also a constitutional official. He is the Speaker of the House, and as such, his job to some degree is to lead the business of the House of Representatives.
And he talked about that a little in making this decision. Here he is.
It's become clear to me that this prolonged leadership turmoil would do irreparable harm to the institution.
So that institutional role you were talking about there, but this doesn't mean that there isn't going to be prolonged leadership turmoil because now somebody has to replace him.
Right. And so what you're going to see, you know, in the next month or so as he's sort of winding down, and we will probably move forward with some sort of continuing resolution to keep the government open in the near term or the immediate term, is that there is a lot of now sort of jockeying. I mean, he did give the sort of acknowledgement that Kevin McCarthy, who's a Republican House member from California, is likely to be lead the charge as the next speaker. But then everybody else who's sort of in other leadership positions will be moving around and jockeying for position, moving up, as it were. But there may also be some other challenges to either McCarthy or others for leadership positions from some of the more, you know, sort of more conservative wings of the Republican caucus as well.
And we had scenes like Marco Rubio talking to a conservative group. And when he announced, he mentioned that Boehner left, cheers broke out. There are a lot of people, core Republican supporters, hoping to get somebody more conservative than John Boehner in that spot.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin McCarthy is definitely probably more conservative than John Boehner, also hasn't been in the House as long as Boehner, which means he may not have as many, you know, allies or colleagues to draw on if he needs to. But it also means that he may be more appealing to some of the folks who are, you know, sort of looking for the outsider, even though all the people who are inside the House would technically be insiders, but somebody who is to some degree more outside of the establishment, you know, sort of ruling group in Washington, D.C.
One name people were throwing around for the new leadership position was Paul Ryan. The person who owns that name, Paul Ryan, said, nope, no thanks, not going to do it.
Yeah, I would – I'm not surprised by Ryan's response. I mean, right now, being Speaker of the House with the Republican sort of fissures within the Republican caucus, it's a tough job. And that's also not necessarily always been Ryan's interest in terms of sort of bringing together the various wings of the party within the establishment itself, within the House itself. There was a lot of anticipation, of course, that Eric Cantor, the former representative from Virginia, who is the majority leader under Boehner, would have ascended to the speakership at some point in the near future. But then Boehner lost his seat in a primary challenge in Virginia last year, and so he wasn't even on the ticket in November last year to run for re-election because he had lost in the primary.
So Cantor was out, obviously no longer an option. We're talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University about today's surprise announcement from John Boehner, Speaker, soon to be former Speaker of the House of Representatives, soon to be former Congressman, too. Let's get into some of the response, Lily. Here's President Obama first praising John Boehner during a press conference today.
John Boehner is a good man. He is a patriot. He cares deeply about the House, an institution in which he's served for a long time. He cares about his constituents, and he cares about America.
All right, let's go to part two now, criticizing Boehner's GOP colleagues.
Speaker Boehner sometimes had a tough position because there were members in his caucus who saw a compromise of any sort as weakness or betrayal.
One thing that probably won't happen, I think, Lily, is a spirit of compromise prevailing between President Obama and whoever John Boehner's replacement is as Speaker. Things aren't going to get any easier for them, are they?
I don't think so. And you know, there's been sort of a lot of discussion, at least in my Twitter feed today, about, you know, sort of the Boehner era. While we look at it sort of as we were in it as a time of a lot of disputes and these sort of cliffhangers with regard to keeping the government open or going over the fiscal cliff, that may actually be a calm look if as we enter the next 2 years or the last sort of 2 years of the Obama administration.
Let's talk about John Boehner himself. Let's start at the end here. Hearing him talk, you know, I was over at Starbucks and thought, he sounds like a guy who just quit a job that was stressing him out and he felt great about being done with it, didn't he?
I think so, you know, and I think that there's been a lot of discussion about the fact that John Boehner has been working for a long time in the House of Representatives to invite a pope to the House to speak to Congress. And, you know, yesterday the Pope spoke to the Congress. He had, you know, a little time alone, a little conversation with the Pope. He was clearly very moved by the Pope's speech, if you saw any of it. And that, you know, he'd sort of accomplished a lot of what he'd gone to Washington in many ways to do. And he's been in Washington for quite some time. And he's, you know, he's not necessarily a sort of guy who's looking for a lot of marquee. He's, you know, he sort of was trying to do his job. He was elected by a pretty conservative district in Cincinnati, just sort of in Ohio. And he's really been trying to, you know, do what the people who elected him sent him to Washington to do. And along the road, he sort of risen in the ranks and became Speaker of the House, which is no small accomplishment. And during that time, he's really had to struggle to keep his party in the House of Representatives together to govern. And, you know, the citizens don't necessarily like it when they see that the government isn't able to govern.
And he found himself in a position where, with this shutdown showdown, if his leadership position was challenged, he probably was only going to survive if Democrats rallied behind him to keep him in the office. Is that part of why maybe he gives up now? That would look bad for a Republican leader to need the Democrats to keep him on board?
Well, I mean, this has sort of been the case on a number of the pieces of legislation that had to get through, and the only way he could get them through on occasion had been with Democratic support, which is, in quote, violation of the Hastert rule, which was that you don't try to push anything through that you don't have the majority of your majority voting on in favor of. And so it's been a difficult it's been a difficult speakership for Boehner. And, you know, I do think he, you know, he felt like, you know, I got the Pope. He came. I feel like I'm at peace with what I've done in my political career. And, he's had a lot of headaches while he's been in the speakership.
And not just leaving the speakership, but leaving Congress completely. That, I don't know, maybe once you've run the place, you don't want to just be sitting on a bench somewhere?
I think so. I mean, you've seen that happen to some of the other folks. I mean, obviously, Newt Gingrich, when he was no longer speaker, he was also potentially in trouble with regard to some ethics violations. But you also saw that with Hastert, when it was clear that Hastert wasn't going to be speaker anymore. He also resigned. And even, you know, in Cantor's case, where he was defeated in the primary, he actually resigned before the end of his term. And so, to some degree, yes, if you're not going to run the place after you've run it, it might be just time to step away.
We've had a stretch of time now with a Democratic president, a Republican speaker, a lot of clashing, not a lot getting done. Some people look back on the time of Ronald Reagan, Republican president, Tip O'Neill, Democratic House speaker. People very strong in their ideology on opposite sides, and yet they came together. They worked in a friendly way, and they got things done. Is that wishful thinking that that could happen again?
Well, I think on some level it's not necessarily wishful thinking, but there are any number of now elected representatives who campaigned on and were sent to office to basically sort of say, we're only going to do what we want to do, and we're not necessarily going to compromise. And the system that we have, which is, you know, these sort of separation of checks and balances, separation of powers. I was talking about this with my students yesterday, and designed by James Madison 200 years ago, is one where you actually have to make some compromises in order to govern. That's what it is. It's not a parliamentary system where if you're the winning party, you can just start enacting policy. And as a result of that, we have difficulties when we have on either the left or the right groups of elected representatives who basically say no compromise. If you say no compromise in a Madisonian system, it kind of grinds to a halt. And Reagan was willing to make some compromises.
Will we see compromise within the Republican caucus in the House to come up with a leader? Or do you think this is going to be an acrimonious process to get John Boehner's successor in place?
I don't know if it will be acrimonious. And part of that will be that we're not necessarily going to see some of that sort of back and forth, because that's going to be within the caucus itself and it won't be public. But if people start leaking information to the media, then we may hear a little bit more if it's going smoothly or if there are actually fights going on with regard to support for either McCarthy or some of the other possibilities.
Lily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We've been talking to Lily Gorin, professor of politics and global studies at Carroll University. She joined us from our WPR studios in Milwaukee.